Walter Sports Bar in Navy Yard offers $5 happy hour in both snacks and drinks. To reserve a table, visit waltersdc.com/happy hour.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Now the set and the pitch. Meneses hits a shot towards short. It's through. It's a base hit to Turner's left. Thomas went back to third. He's still going to get the wave in, and he's going to score with a throw into second. So it's an RBI single for Joey Meneses, and the Nationals their first lead of the series, 2-1.
Here's the pitch. Swing and a line drive left field. Moving over is Merrifield. He makes the catch. Runner tags. Thomas coming home. The throw will go to third. Cut off by Trey Turner. It's a line drive sacrifice fly for Riley Adams, his third RBI of the year. The second out of the inning, and the Nationals back in front. It's Washington 3 and Philadelphia 2. Finnegan coming set again on 0-2 to Bohm. Right-handed hitter against the right-handed pitcher. Now the kick. Here it comes. And it's in there. Strike three called. Bohm locked up. Couldn't pull the trigger. And Finnegan with a fastball at 97 miles an hour to the outside corner. And Bohm is not happy about it. A curly W's in the books. Riley Adams with a glad hand for Kyle Finnegan.
And welcome to Nats Chat for Monday, April 8th. 2024. I'm Al Galdi, host of the Al Galdi podcast. Mark Zuckerman is off for this installment of the show, but I'm happy to be joined by the man who runs the show, Tim Shovers, and I'm happy to say that we, for the third time in 9 Nationals games in the 2024 regular season, have a Nats win to discuss, a 3-2 win over the Philadelphia Phillies at Nationals Park on Sunday afternoon to avoid a 3-game sweep. This installment of the Nats Chat podcast is brought to us by Mason Kalfas at Zenith Legal. Mason Kalfas and his team specialize in placing partners and associates at medium-sized and large law firms in Washington, D.C. and across the country. Mason's number is 202-486-3535. You can also check out his website, zenithlegal.com. Well, a big theme during our National Sunday was the retirement of starting pitcher Steven Strasburg. That retirement was formally announced on Sunday morning, off breaking on Saturday evening. It was on Sunday morning that we got formal statements from Nats managing principal owner Mark Lerner and Nats president of baseball operations and general manager Mike Rizzo, and from Strasburg himself. And then we appropriately enough got a very nice outing, dare I say a Strasburg-like outing, from the Nats starting pitcher on Sunday afternoon, Mackenzie Gore. 2 runs in 5 2/3 innings with 6 strikeouts. Tim, the Nats starting pitching this season overall has been a disappointment, but Mackenzie Gore on Sunday afternoon did not disappoint.
Solid outing from Gore. Really good to see after what's been, of course, a disappointing stretch for Nats starting pitching so far. And you and Mark talked about in the previous episode that the Nats starters have not taken advantage of the cold weather thus far. Here we have our warmest and best weather of the homestand, and of course that's when we get the best outing from a starting pitcher this week.
It's odd how that can work out, but that is how it worked out. I give Gore a lot of credit. Now, he wasn't necessarily like hideous in his first start of this regular season, but you know, it was mediocre. And what you wanted was like a truly good outing from a Nats starting pitcher. We had not really had that yet. I do believe that we now can say that we have had that. Now, he only lasted for the 5 2/3 innings, but 2 runs in 5 2/3, 6 strikeouts versus 2 walks. He gave up just 5 hits, which were comprised of a homer and 4 singles. He threw 92 pitches, 58 strikes versus 34 balls. Gore, in the top of the second, allowed a run on a walk and two singles, so the second of which was a two-out RBI single by Edmundo Sosa to left field for a 1-0 Phillies lead, and Gore, in the top of the fifth, allowed a run on a one-out solo homer by Sosa to left center to tie the game at two. That was an impressive homer by Sosa, 412 feet per Statcast, but I was very happy to see this, and you look at what's coming up for the Nats. Now, they have this nine-game trip out west. The West usually gives you pitcher's ballpark. So it is an opportunity for your staff to get right. Now, I say that recognizing that the last of the three series out west comes against the mighty Dodgers. So you face a lineup like that, that can undo whatever ballpark effects might be playing to your favor. But I would like to think three games at San Francisco, three games at Oakland especially, and then the three games at the Dodgers, maybe now we can see this rotation get to a better place.
Well, definitely with the middle part of that road trip with Oakland. I mean, not a big lineup there. It's going to be quite the whiplash going from the Oakland A's lineup to the LA Dodgers lineup. And then I haven't looked at the weather, but I would have to imagine that for mid-April, you're going to have some cold weather in the night games in San Francisco along the bay. So, which would, of course, lead to a pitching advantage there. Either way, though, I don't know the San Francisco Giants top of the order offhand, but I can tell you it's not as good as the Philadelphia Phillies. So the Nats really had their hands full this weekend. So did Mackenzie Gore on Sunday. So that's really encouraging that he was able to get the victory facing such a powerful lineup.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that sabermetrics do not account for that I think someone should come up with a stat to account for is quality of opposition, because you know, they have stats that adjust for your ballpark, that adjust for your offensive environment, but there is no stat, as far as I know, that adjusts for quality of opponent. And I think that's the thing with a game like this by Gore. It's against a team that can hit. We know that. Now, the Phillies aren't off to a great offensive start, but we know that this is a good hitting lineup. This certainly has been a team that has hit well against the Nats in recent years, and Gore did a nice job against these guys on Sunday afternoon. So hopefully a sign of things to come. And the Nats bullpen on Sunday afternoon was really good. The bullpen, like the rotation, really hasn't been that good. Ended up having a pretty good series in this series against the Phillies. But this might have been the best performance by the Nats bullpen in this regular season so far. Three Nats relievers combined for 3 1/3 scoreless and hitless innings with 4 strikeouts. Jordan Weems, 1 1/3 perfect innings. Hunter Harvey tossed a perfect top of the eighth with 2 swinging strikeouts. And then Kyle Finnegan tossed a scoreless top of the ninth for the save. Now, the first out that he got came on a great leaping catch by left fielder Jesse Winker against the outfield wall on a deep fly ball off the bat of Trey Turner.
This is trouble. Winker is back at the wall. He leaps, and he made the catch! He made the catch against the wall and falls down, and he holds on!
Finnegan did issue a two-out walk at JT Realmuto. So this was not a clean inning by Finnegan, but it was a scoreless inning. He got the save, and the bullpen did a good job in this 3-2 win.
Yeah, really encouraged by Jordan Weems' start to the season so far this year. Davey showed a lot of confidence in him. This is clearly a win that they wanted to have, and so he's the guy he chooses to use in front of Harvey and Finnegan. It seemed like for a few years, Weems was sort of every few days you'd get an email that Jordan Weems was being recalled from Rochester or sent down to Rochester. But now here he is getting a stable spot in the bullpen. So I really like that a lot. And the Finnegan part, which I really enjoyed, you mentioned the help that he got from Winker, but there are days where we get lights out Kyle Finnegan. There are days where we get not so lights out Kyle Finnegan. This was somewhere in between, working with just, you know, a narrow one run lead. He held on to it. So encouraged by that, because as we know, sometimes when he doesn't get that early start, things can fall off for Finnegan.
Yeah. And to your point about Weems, I think if for whatever reasons Kyle Finnegan and Hunter Harvey falter and are not the Nats' top two ace relievers, I could see Weems at some point this season getting one of those spots. I also could see Robert Garcia at some point this season getting one of those spots, just because those guys can strike guys out. Those guys have demonstrated an ability to put forth swing and miss stuff and to be dominant at times. I mean, Garcia, I know he hasn't been lights out in every outing so far this season, but like go back to the 5-2 loss to the Phillies on Saturday. Garcia, scoreless top of the eighth, strikeouts of Bryce Harper and JT Realmuto. So, I mean, you need guys beyond Finnegan and Harvey on whom you can rely. And maybe, and it's a maybe, look, we know how it is with these relievers. They're so fickle, right? But maybe guys like Weems and Garcia can be those guys. Hey, are you a law firm partner or an associate stuck on an underperforming franchise? Do what Nationals legend Max Scherzer did. Demand a trade. There might be greener pastures and a lot more money at another law firm for you and your team at another law firm, not to mention better management and better services to offer your clients. The law firm lateral partner market is still red hot, and Nats Chat sponsor Mason Kalfas is the best legal recruiter in Washington, D.C., or anywhere. And Mason wants to help you find a new and better home. Mason Kalfas, put him to work for you. Mason will sit down with you and understand your practice and career or financial goals. He will confidentially discuss your candidacy with law firms that are contenders, not 60-win teams. There is no CBA in the law firm world. Do not be stuck with a poverty franchise like poor Paul Skeens, okay? Call Mason today, located in Washington, D.C. Mason also specializes in working with government lawyers from the DOJ, SEC, FTC, and FDA. He has placed partners at dozens of elite national law firms straight out of those partners' government positions. With the first Biden administration winding down, give Mason Kalfas a call to position yourself for a move to private practice today. You can reach Mason or any of his team of seven recruiters at 202-486-3535 or email Mason at mason@zenithlegal.com. That's 202-486-3535 or via email at mason@zenithlegal.com. Go Nats! The Nats will be contenders very soon, and you can be a contender even sooner.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Now the set. Here's the pitch. Swing and a line drive, one hop through the left side, base hit left field. Vargas around third, coming home. Throw from Merrifield, not a good one, offline. And into foul ground goes Real Muto to get it. As Vargas scores, and the Nationals are on the board. Stopping at second, Lipscomb, and on at first. With a single to left and a run batted in, his third of the year is Luis Garcia. And the Nationals have tied things here in the bottom of the second inning. It's the Phillies one and the Nationals one.
The Nats offense. So first two games, no bueno, right? A combined two runs, a combined six hits. Sunday afternoon wasn't great, but it was better. First of all, the Nats won. Only scored three runs, yes, but eight hits to go with four walks. The Nats did go just 2 for 11 with runners in scoring position, but did only strike out three times. So that was good to see. And I tell you what was really good to see was Lane Thomas for a second consecutive game doing well. And I don't know that two consecutive good games make it so that a season opening slump is over, but I do know that two consecutive good games off a season opening slump is encouraging. Lane Thomas in that loss on Saturday, 2 for 3, two singles and a walk. And Lane Thomas in this win on Sunday afternoon, 2 for 3 with two singles and a walk, and 3 for 3 on stolen bases. He was the Nats' number three batter for this game, off being the leadoff batter on Saturday. No C.J. Abrams for a second consecutive game with that finger injury. That's a bit concerning. Hopefully an injured list stint is not in his future. We'll see. But Lane Thomas looked really good in this game. Super impactful. Thomas in the Nats' one-run third, a leadoff eight-pitch walk despite having been down in the count at 1.12, and he had to steal a second base. Thomas in the Nats' one-run fifth, a one-out first pitch infield single on a grounder to Phillies third baseman Alec Bohm, whose throw was off, perhaps in part because of Thomas's speed. And then Thomas had to steal a second base that induced a throwing error by the Phillies catcher JT Realmuto, advancing Thomas to third. So Thomas's speed in that inning perhaps causing two defensive boo-boos by the Phillies. And then Thomas in the bottom of the seventh, a one-out single to left field despite having been down in the count at 1.12. And he had a steal of second base. Lane Thomas had done very little over the first seven games of this regular season. He did quite a bit these last two games.
Lane Thomas is so important to this offense. Now, there's a separate conversation about what that sentence means, but nonetheless, that is the truth. And so he has his best game and they win. I find those two things strongly correlated. Slow start for him, but today he really showed what he brings to the table. Multiple hits. And that speed you forget about, you know, and C.J. Abrams setting the franchise record for steals overshadowed his base running last year. But Thomas can do that. He's a real all-around player. And when this offense gets four combined hits from Lane Thomas and Joey Meneses, you see that a lot of things change. So, you know, I'm projecting a little bit here, but we do know that come mid-April or next month, James Wood might be coming up. Who knows with other players such as Robert Hassel III. I know Dylan Cruz is struggling. But my point is that if I'm Lane Thomas with a lot of team control still left, even though I've been a good player the last years, I'd be looking over my shoulder a little bit. And so I was encouraged to see his performance today.
Yeah, I don't think anything is guaranteed to any of these current Nats outfielders because of what's going on with the team having so many quality outfield prospects. Now, like you said, Dylan Cruz is struggling. So the notion of Cruz being called up sometime soon does not seem realistic right now. He may well still get called up to the majors this season. I hope like heck that he does. If he doesn't, that's troubling. Okay, let's be honest about things. But that call up, which we all thought might come as soon as, say, I don't know, mid-April, late April, May, maybe June. Now, I don't know. He's not doing well. James Wood, different conversation. I would say this about Lane Thomas, too. He now has been with the Nats long enough and has done well enough to where I do think he has earned a benefit of the doubt to at least some degree. He was acquired in 2021, right? The famous John Lester trade, another masterclass by Mike Rizzo in terms of fleecing an opposing team via trade. And Lane Thomas has been an above league average batter in each of his seasons with the Nats. Now, you know, he's not a great batter, okay? I'm not trying to oversell what he has been, but you look at his OPS pluses, 133 for the 2021 regular season, 102 for 2022, 114 for 2023, 100 is league average. He's been above league average for every season. He has been a good hitter. And so, you know, really bad start to this regular season, yes, but I think he's earned the right to sort of work his way out of it. And hopefully he's doing that. And you mentioned Joey Meneses. So he, like Thomas, off to a rough start. But Meneses on Sunday afternoon had a good game. Starting designated hitter, number five batter, 2-for-3 with an RBI single, another single, and a walk. We saw Joey Gallo go 0-for-3, but also draw a walk as an at starting first baseman and cleanup batter. And he had a stolen base in this game. That walk by Gallo was nice. One run fifth, a one-out walk despite having been down in the count at 1.02, and he had to steal a second base. So Gallo continues to do well. And, you know, I mentioned Winker. Look, he did not have a good offensive game on Sunday afternoon. Starting left fielder, number three batter, 0-for-4. But that catch in the ninth inning, Jesse Winker is doing a lot of positive things for the Nats so far, either offensively or defensively. The catch on Sunday afternoon, he's had multiple impressive outfield assists, including one on Saturday. So good for Jesse Winker. He's doing a nice job.
Yeah, if he doesn't make that catch, we're probably having a different podcast here today. Winker was awful with the Brewers. And, you know, the signing was, you know, wasn't anything to cheer about when the Nats got him. But you heard Mark talk about how all the Cincinnati reporters clearly mentioned how he lost weight and looks like he's in better shape. His defense so far in just nine games, I mean, he's made multiple highlight reel plays so far, two outfield assists. Really encouraged by Jesse Winker's production thus far. I think it's one of the real bright spots to the start of the season so far this year. So really happy to see what we've gotten out of Jesse Winker. We'll see if that lasts as we move on to the West Coast road trip. And let me say, by the way, Al, about Joey Gallo. All I've heard about this guy over the years, and I admittedly don't watch a ton of American League Baseball, which he mostly has been in, except for the brief time with the Dodgers, are jokes. And he's been a punchline, and he's been one of the guys mentioned about how often he strikes out. I have to say, I know he's a three true outcome guy. I've been impressed by his defense so far. I did not see that coming. Maybe that was well known. Maybe that's on me. But Joey Gallo, you know, last year we were like, okay, we have to have Dom Smith at first base because of his defense. Well, let me say thus far, Joey Gallo, obviously a much better bat than Dom Smith. And from my eye test, seems like just as good a glove.
Done a good job. I mean, you know, he's been a gold glove outfielder. Now, that doesn't mean that you're a gold glove first baseman, but that does suggest, you know, an aptitude with the glove. And, you know, I would think if you can do well as a left fielder, you should have enough skills to where you can be at least decent at first base. It is odd to me that the Nats are not playing him at all in left field, where he has had significant defensive success. But yeah, he is doing a good job at first base, and he has saved Nats infielders multiple times with some nice picks. So, yeah, good to see that. You know, the Nats have not had a lot of great success in recent seasons in terms of offseason veteran acquisitions doing well. Jamer Candelario stands out as a positive, but a lot of others have not worked out. Think Nelson Cruz, think Cesar Hernandez, etc. So far, and it's early, right? But Joey Gallo, Jesse Winker, there are things to like with what the Nats are getting from those guys. And also want to highlight Luis Garcia Jr. So it was not that long ago that we were talking about Trey Lipscomb perhaps having supplanted Luis Garcia Jr. as the Nats' number one second baseman. Well, circumstances are such that they're both now playing with Nick Senzel out. Lipscomb is struggling. There's no way around that. Trey Lipscomb, over the three games in this series, starting third baseman for the Nats at each game, he went a combined 0 for 11 with no walks and a throwing error. But Luis Garcia Jr. is doing well. He started two of the three games in this series, starting second baseman for games 1 and 3. The loss on Friday evening, 1 for 3 with a double. And Garcia in this 3-2 win over the Phillies on Sunday afternoon, 1 for 4 with an RBI single. Garcia in the Nats, one run second, a two out opposite field RBI single through the left side of the infield to tie the game at 1. Your OPS for Luis Garcia Jr. so far this regular season, 9.02. Now, that is aided greatly by him having a team-high 5 doubles, but he is hitting, and we know he can hit. Now, he also can go ice cold, and we have seen that in recent seasons as well, but the guy has talent. He's very athletic. Sometimes maybe too athletic for his own good, like too flashy at second base. You know, I know his mind isn't always in the game. That's been something that's come up from Mike Rizzo and Davey Martinez. But I like what we're seeing from Luis Garcia Jr. Perhaps he is playing his way back into being a factor, a true factor in this Nats rebuild.
Cosign. And I, you know, mentioned Lane Thomas looking over his shoulder. Luis Garcia definitely has to look over his shoulder because Brady House in the minor leagues and then Trey Lipscomb already getting called up. So, you know, if Lipscomb's part of the plan for the future, does Lipscomb move to second base? So the hot start by Garcia, who, you know, last year, that embarrassing demotion, I think embarrassing is the proper word because it kind of came out of nowhere when he was sent down to AAA. Really like what I've seen. I mean, sometimes this week he was really the only offensive bat that the Nats had at times. So we heard a lot about Luis Garcia well before he was ever called up. He was the big prospect. It's been overall a disappointment, but the Nats have not given up on him, and let's see what he could do. And that, to me, is really even more than Winker, because Winker's, you know, a signee. That's really something to monitor for the Nats. That would be a great problem to have, that Luis Garcia has played his way into such where the day that Brady House gets called up, they now have a problem figuring out what to do with Garcia and Lipscomb.
I mean, you think about the Nats rebuild, and if everything works out, which it won't, but if everything does work out, right, you have Keibert Ruiz as your catcher, you have Brady House as your third baseman, you have CJ Abrams as your shortstop, and you and your outfield have Dylan Cruz, James Wood, and let's say Robert Hassel III. We'll put Elijah Green off to the side. Green, like Cruz, is really struggling, so we'll see what happens with that. But the point is, there isn't an obvious long-term second baseman. Now, there are certainly candidates, right? But there isn't like that one supreme prospect who right now you would identify as the guy most likely to be the Nats' long-term second baseman. Garcia can be that guy. There's an opportunity for him. Now, it's competitive. It's not like this is just going to be gifted to Garcia, but he can stake his claim for that job long term. And, you know, I'd love to see him do that. We'll see. He's off to a good start. So encouraging with what we're getting from him. Hey, Al Galdi here for Window Nation. Baseball season finally is here. Spring finally is here. And that means a great offer from Window Nation for listeners of the Nats Chat podcast. If your windows are cracked or leaking and or won't open or stay open, now is the time to call Window Nation, which is offering the following deal to listeners of the Nats Chat podcast. Two free windows for every two windows that you buy, plus zero down, zero interest, and zero payments for 24 months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com and make sure that you tell Window Nation that you want the deal that you heard about from Al Galdi on the Nats Chat podcast. Upgrade the look, feel, and value of your home with great new Window Nation windows. Window Nation is the best, and take advantage of the offer. Two free windows for every two windows that you buy, plus zero down, zero interest, and zero payments for 24 months. 866-90-NATION or windownation.com. That's 866-90-NATION or windownation.com. And make sure that you tell Window Nation that you want the deal that you heard about from Al Galdi on the Nats Chat podcast.
Tim Shover is here to tell you about Game Time. On Tuesday, April 8th, Bad Bunny is coming to Capital One Arena. Now, personally, I did not think he did a particularly good job as an SNL host earlier this season, but I'm confident sketch comedy will not be the focal point of this concert. One great thing about Game Time is their priority, last-minute deals. Save up to 60% off buying last-minute for sports, concerts, comedy, and theater. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code NATSCHAT for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code NATSCHAT for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, Nats fans, this is your rare double play update of Dylan Cruz and Paolo the Secret Weapon Espino. Cruz in double A in a 5-1 victory over the Erie Seawolves for the Harrisburg Senators. Cruz hit second. He went 1-for-5 with an RBI, struck out three times, hitting .077 on the young season. Up to the bigs and to the Toronto Blue Jays game in New York, Paolo Espino made his debut with Toronto. Through two scoreless innings, gave up two hits, walked one guy, and the Blue Jays lost 8-3 to the Yankees. Espino pitched the fourth and fifth innings of that game. Now back to the show.
I can't say enough about what Stevens meant to this organization, to his fans, and most of all to me, right? We were together. We did something special together. He was a horse out there on the mound. Not every day he felt good, but every 5 days he would take the ball and give you everything he had, no matter what. And that's what I know about Steven.
So next up for the Nats, the 9-game trip out west, beginning with a 3-game series at the San Francisco Giants. Game one, Monday night at 9:45. Trevor Williams will be the Nats starting pitcher. Game two, Tuesday night at 9:45. Josiah Gray will be the Nats starting pitcher. And game three, Wednesday afternoon at 3:45, Patrick Corbin will be the Nats starting pitcher. There was so much Strasburg conversation on Sunday, and justifiably so. A lot of honoring of him, a lot of commemorating of all the great things that he did. We did have a brief session with reporters from Mike Rizzo prior to the game. First time that Mike has spoken to reporters in a collective on-the-record session since the start of this regular season. I was thinking about this. I'm interested in your take on this. So I don't think you could say that Steven Strasburg has been the Nats' best player since the franchise came to D.C. I think that honor goes to Max Scherzer. I don't really know how you argue otherwise. Max is going to go into the Hall of Fame as a Nat, we would think. You can't say that with certainty about anyone else who has been here since the Nats came here. But if I ask you who has been the biggest star for the Nats since the franchise came here. Star is different than best player, right? So star can mean different things to different people. You have multiple candidates. You certainly could say Max Scherzer. You could say Bryce Harper. You could say Ryan Zimmerman. You could say Juan Soto. But I think you also could say Steven Strasburg. Number one overall pick, the unforgettable major league debut, the 2019 World Series MVP. Do you think that it's accurate to say that Steven Strasburg is the biggest star for the Nats since the franchise came to D.C.?
I do. I would agree with that. I remember over the years, even at times where Strasburg would be hurt or wouldn't be pitching as well as he normally would, when I would meet people from other cities and the Nats would come up in conversation, people just assumed that Strasburg was a star, right? And he was very, very well known with the team, always associated with the casual fan with the Washington Nationals. So, you know, if you talk about the biggest star, it's really the conversation is him, Scherzer, or Bryce Harper. And, you know, though Harper probably had the biggest buzz, definitely of any everyday player, but when you throw in the postseason factor, which Strasburg, you know, World Series MVP, of course, and Strasburg's playoff performances far exceeded Bryce Harper's in D.C., I would go with Strasburg in that regard. Though the only thing I would say with that is when you looked at, like, last decade, in the middle of the decade, let's say, when Fox would have their All-Star game promos, often Bryce Harper would be one of the three or four guys that would pop up on the graphic and not Steven Strasburg. So in that regard, I would say Harper probably ran with him closely. But if you talk about like Nationals, 6 or 7 months a season, year in, year out, I would go with Strasburg.
Yeah, I think Harper is the tricky one because at his peak, he probably had more notoriety than any other Nationals player. But the peak was brief here. You know, he had the monstrous 2015 season. He obviously was a good player in other seasons. He made headlines with some of the things he said and did and was involved in at other various points in his time here. But yeah, it wasn't, his time here was not what I think people sometimes try to frame it as having been. Like when people express the Bryce Harper lament of, oh, how could the Nats not have re-signed him? He has been with the Phillies a better, more consistent, healthier player than he was with the Nats. It's a different guy who he's been with them, and that's to his credit, okay? But he missed a lot of time when he was with the Nats due to injury. He had seasons in which he wasn't nearly as productive as you would hope for him to be. And so, yeah, it's a little tricky. I think, though, if you say Strasburg, I don't think that you're wrong. And I think part of the appeal of saying that he's the biggest star since the Nats franchise came here is that he, in a lot of ways, was the first national star, not national star, national star, in terms of a guy known across the country. Ryan Zimmerman was the first star, but he wasn't like a guy who had, you know, real name value beyond the Washington, D.C. area. Strasburg, again, number one overall pick, unforgettable debut. He was a national name basically from the get-go. Now, you know, I suppose you could say it dipped down a little bit as the years went on, but then it soared right back up with what he did in the 2019 World Series and also what he did in other postseasons. I mean, what he did in that 2017 postseason, that game at the Cubs, is another one of those unforgettable playoff performances. So, yeah, I think it's an interesting conversation. I think I would say Strasburg, though. The guy did a lot of good things here, and I liked how Mike Rizzo expressed himself to reporters on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, the ending is something that nobody could foresee. I don't remember the ending. I remember the journey and the culmination when he got in that Corvette when he won the MVP of the World Series.
And I think that that's appropriate. Like, the end was ugly. The end was really unfortunate. The contract, etc. But that's not what he should be most remembered for. It's what led to that contract. It's what led to him being so well regarded by so many Nationals fans. And I don't think that'll be lost. I think if/when he takes part in this 5-year World Series championship team celebration, April 19th through the 21st, he is going to get a massive ovation at Nationals Park. And I hope like heck he's involved in that weekend because I think that could be a really special moment.
Yeah, a few things on Strasburg, because I moved here in 2010. And I was at the debut in the stands, and it's the best regular season sporting event I've ever been to, and the only baseball games that eclipse it are the World Series. And I've been to a lot of really good, a lot of good baseball games, fortunately, in my life. And I talked to a lot of people who were at the debut, and they agree with it. It was such a special evening, and you know, the Nats were such a joke the first few years, other than the first half of 2005, and everything changed with that. And all of a sudden, the Nats were a real team, and it was the first time I realized, wow, DC could be a baseball town, you know, because it was a very slow start with DC in baseball when the Nats moved from Montreal. Quick aside, you talk about Zimmerman being a star. The peak of Zimmerman's career was during those lean years for the Nationals, and it was sort of like the only time you would ever hear Ryan Zimmerman's name outside of DC were from like real seamheads that were really paying attention. But I think the casual fan in 2009 or 10, whatever, didn't really know who Ryan Zimmerman was that much, other than maybe his name in passing. One last thing on Strasburg, I just want to say, Al, believe it or not, I was on TV on NBC Sports Washington after Game 7, the night that the Nats won the World Series, and I'm sitting in studio during commercial break, and we're waiting to see who the MVP would be, and it flashes up that Strasburg wins World Series MVP. And I remember sitting there saying, wow, because, you know, I follow, just like you, the day in and day out saga of Steven Strasburg, and a lot of highs, but man, there were a lot of lows, right, over the years. And just thinking that, you know, if you zoomed out, you're like, okay, he had that massive debut, Cy Young finalist, World Series MVP. He lived up to his number one pick status. But if you followed it day by day, there were so many lows. And it just really struck me funny that he had World Series MVP attached to it. It was so well deserved. But if you didn't follow the real ins and outs of it, I don't think you could really appreciate what that was, because, man, well, there were some tough times there. A lot of injuries, a lot of tough stretches. And so I was just so happy for him when he won World Series MVP. I don't know how else to say it.
Yeah, him winning World Series MVP certified him as a hit, as a number one overall pick. If he doesn't win that, if the Nats don't win that World Series, if he doesn't have the postseason resume that he amasses, I think it becomes a conversation about whether or not he truly was a hit as a number one overall pick, because he missed so much time due to injury. But because he did what he did over multiple postseasons and won a World Series MVP, you really can't mount the horse of, well, you know, he didn't work out as much as he should have. Like, no, he worked out. Okay, he worked out just fine. Is he a Hall of Famer? No, but I don't think that's the standard that you apply to a draft pick working out, even a number one overall pick working out. He was a very good pitcher. I mean, to me, he's the third best pitcher in Washington, D.C. baseball history. Walter Johnson is number one. Max Scherzer is number two. Steven Strasburg is number three. I think it's as simple as that. If you're the third best pitcher in the history of a major city in this country, you did something right. And he did a lot of things right. And he has a lot to be proud of. So I'm glad that he's getting his flowers off this retirement that finally is official with what happened this weekend. You tell us what you think. Hit us up on X at @Nats_chat. You can email the show, natschatpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on YouTube. Just search Nats Chat. Our YouTube handle is @NatsChatPodcast. And please consider clicking on the thumbs up button. And please consider clicking on subscribe. Subscribing costs you nothing, but helps us out a lot. We have a website that we invite you to check out, NatsChatPodcast.com, at which you can buy a Nats Chat Podcast t-shirt. And if you are interested in sponsoring the show, sponsoring a particular episode after a particular game, or sponsoring the show during a particular series, hit up Tim. Again, that email address, natschatpodcast@gmail.com. All Nationals radio highlights on Nats Chat are courtesy of 106.7 The Fan. This episode of the Nats Chat Podcast has been brought to us by Mason Kalfas at Zenith Legal. Mason Kalfas and his team specialize in placing partners and associates at medium-sized and large law firms in Washington, D.C. and across the country. Mason's phone number is 202-486-3535. You can also check out his website, zenithlegal.com. For Tim Shovers, I'm Al Galdi. We thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next time on the Nats Chat Podcast.
Strasburg sets the pitch. Swing and a miss, struck him out. Waved at a curveball in the dirt. Oh, what a big pitch for Strasburg of the Nationals, striking out Altuve.